We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. Are you glad to be in the house of God today?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. This is an awesome day. I am so glad that I get to have fellowship with all of you in this wonderful day. Welcome to Redemption Church, and welcome to all of you watchers online. If you're watching us through our Facebook feed or through YouTube or on our website, thank you for checking us out. If you would, please feel free to leave a comment or a like or a one share equals one amen. That'd be great. We're just glad you're there, but we would love to meet you in person if you could ever make it out here to Redemption Church. We'd love to have fellowship with you here in the house. For those of you who are in the house, thank you for joining us today. I am so excited to be able to preach to you today. Pastor Chris is not the only comic book nerd in the house, so I'm glad that I get to participate in this series, Jesus Versus. God will fight for you. Amen? Amen. Yes, in this series, we have been taking a look at some comic book villains, and over the past few weeks, we've asked, how would they stand up in a fight against our Lord and Savior, Jesus?
Yeah.
Now, that may sound like a silly premise, but it has revealed some spiritual truths.
Yes, it has.
That's right. When you hold up Jesus to anything, you can find truth in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He reveals the truth. So let's quickly do a review. So in the first week, we talked about... Oh, you guys need to go watch it online. If you missed it, they're all posted out there. Thanos, the merciless mad titan who has the Infinity Gauntlet. Yes, he was just in a movie recently. This gauntlet gives him incredible, astronomical, almost limitless power. But mercy triumphs over judgment. He's merciless, and he's willing to wipe out half the universe, but Jesus Christ is merciful.
Yeah.
And while he might have a lot of power, all power in heaven and earth is found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Second week, we talked about everyone's favorite watcher, Uatu. Yes, strange guy. He also has these incredible powers, and yet, does he do anything with them?
No,
he just watches. He is a do-nothing God. He is an inactive God, whereas Jesus is an active God. Jesus is alive and active in our world today, in our church, and in us. Jesus pleads, he forgives, he redeems, and he saves, even today. And then, the week after that, we talked about, big guy, lots of purple, Galactus, the devourer of worlds. He is an insufficient God because while he's as old as the universe and he has the power cosmic, he still has to eat planets in order to survive. He can't sustain himself just on his own, whereas our Jesus is an all-sufficient God. He's a self-sufficient God. He sustains himself. He sustains everything. He holds everything together with his word of power, and he sustains us. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And then last week we talked about venom. Venom, or as Pastor Chris called him, the symbiote of sin. He bonds to people and then tries to take control and cause them to do things that they wouldn't normally want to do. That's a lot like sin entering our lives and trying to direct us toward evil things. But fortunately, Jesus Christ, the sinless one, is able to overcome that symbiote of sin, that corruption that tries to work its way into us. Jesus Christ can not only overcome that, he has overcome that, but he can also save the person that sin, that symbiote has bonded with. He doesn't just have to destroy it all. No, he can cast out that evil and save the person and redeem the person because he loves the person that's underneath even that evil thing. All right, it's been a great series so far. We've talked about a lot of powerful characters. We've talked about characters that have cosmic powers and planet-consuming powers and incredible strength and powers over time and space. But there is one type of superpower that we haven't really addressed yet. As a comic book nerd, we sort of group superpowers into different categories. There's one that we haven't really touched on. And so in planning out this series, Pastor Chris and I were discussing and said, you know what? We want to make sure we do a week on mental powers, psychic powers, all right? So who should we look at this week? Well, we looked into a couple villains that have mind control powers. Some of you may be familiar with these, probably not at all, because there aren't a lot of well-known guys with mental powers, villains. There's the Purple Man. Yeah. Sounds very formidable, right? This guy's real name is Zebediah Kilgrave. His name is Kilgrave, but he decided he wants his villain name to be Purple Man. Yeah, well, he is purple, that's true, and he can control people's minds, but he's on a Netflix show, but he's still, nobody knows who that is. No, pass. There's a guy called the Shadow King. He sounds very intimidating and creepy. He controls people's minds. Again, he's on TV, but really nobody knows. Can you picture the Shadow King? And there's another guy named the Puppet Master. I would almost guarantee you can't picture this guy because he looks really goofy, and his powers revolve around carving little puppets of his enemies, and then he can, like, make them do things. No, no thank you. Pass. All right, so for this series, we decided to go with someone a little bit more well-known, although we had to think outside the box a little bit and pick a guy who's not a villain, okay? So this week, we're looking at Jesus versus Professor X, Professor Charles Xavier. Turn to someone and say, X-Men. X-Men, yes, that's where he's known from. Professor Charles Xavier is the bald-headed leader of the X-Men. Not making fun of that, we know from the Bible that calling out people on baldness can get you eaten by bears. So, leave that alone. He is confined to a wheelchair, but he has incredible mental powers. All right, he first appeared in X-Men issue number 1 back in 1963, and he's been leading the X-Men for the most part ever since. He has recently been portrayed in all of the X-Men movies by Captain Jean-Luc Picard as well as James McAvoy. So you might picture one of them when you think of this character, all right? The X-Men have been a popular supergroup for a long time. They've been a popular team of superheroes. I mean, they've been around since the 60s, but I remember I was real into them when I was a kid growing up. They had a cartoon show on Fox. I won't sing the theme song for you because it would be stuck in your head all day, but they were really cool. My friends and I really loved the X-Men. I remember sometimes we would pretend to be the X-Men, and we'd all pick our favorite one, but I don't remember me or any of my friends ever picking, you know who I'm going to be? Professor X. Now let me sit down and think really hard. That's just not as exciting. His powers weren't as exciting as superhuman strength or a metal skeleton or optic blasts. There have been several video games based on the X-Men, and I don't recall a single one where you play as Professor X, because that's just not an exciting thing. It's time for my super move, think. All right. But it's hard to sort of get into his character. His powers weren't really exciting. He's not very physically imposing. If you just saw him coming at you, you'd probably be like, oh, hey, what's up? But while his body may be weak, his powers are incredibly strong. Okay, let me describe them to you a little bit. He is said to possess the most powerful brain in existence. He is said to be the world's greatest telepath. far exceeding any member of the Psychic Friends Hotline Network, all right? He's the world's greatest telepath, and he possesses vast psionic powers. Turn to someone and say, vast psionic powers, all right? Let's talk about them. These powers include telepathy, obviously. He is able to read minds and project his own thoughts into the minds of others within a radius of 250 miles, all right? Anybody within that range, he can communicate with them telepathically, and it's even more if he concentrates. That's apparently him just like, I'm going to reach out and touch somebody 250 miles away. If he concentrates, it's even greater than that. And he has a computer called
Cerebro.
Nerds. Cerebro, that's correct. He has this computer system called Cerebro. He puts on a helmet with tubes coming out of it, and that allows him to connect with the mind of anyone on the planet, okay? That's a pretty powerful telepath. He also has the power of telepathic illusion, meaning he can make you think you're seeing things and hearing things and experiencing things that aren't real. They're just in your mind. He puts them into your mind through his powers. He has the power of mind control, so he can just sort of step in and then you are doing what he wants you to do. He can control other people's minds. He can cause mental amnesia. He's done this to several people. He can make them forget whole parts of their life. He can wipe out people's past in their own mind. He sometimes does this to try to help people that are struggling to cope with things that happened in their past. But he can just cause you to forget things. On top of that, he has mental manipulation. He can make you remember things that didn't happen. He can change your whole recollection of your life just inside your own head. That's kind of scary. And then on top of that, he's got offensive psychic powers. Not like they're offensive, but like not just defensive, offensive. He has psychic blasts, okay? What is this? He can shoot non-physical beams of psychic energy that can cause pain or paralysis or even death. So he can zap you with his mind. I'm not sure, I was unable to confirm if he has the power from the movie Scanners, where the one guy made the other guys, yep, that reference was for Pastor Chris. But he has the power to harm other people with his mind. And not just that, he could sort of reach into your mind and tell your brain, hey, tell your heart, you don't really need to beat anymore for a little while, you're good. You can just stop, everything's cool. And then your heart stops beating and you die. He could do that with his powers. That guy, his powers are intense. They are powerful. So much so that a couple of his enemies have taken to wearing helmets all the time. They have incorporated helmets into their costume just to keep him out of their head. He's not even around, and they're still keeping their tinfoil hat helmet on just to keep him out of their brain. They're okay with that. Like, I'll just wear this 24/7 just in case. He's still out there. I need to keep this on. But not only that, in addition to his powers, he has a genius-level intelligence. He's a very smart guy, not just a super-powered psychic. He's actually very smart. And so he could basically control the whole world or kill everyone. So fortunately, he is a good guy. He is not a villain. He's generally considered a good guy. He works for peace and equality between humans and mutants. He leads a team of X-Men. He leads his superpowered team to fight evil and to save and protect innocent lives. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't have his faults. He has been a manipulator. He's got all this power, and at times, he has used it to make people do things that he wants them to do, even against their own best interest or what they would normally do. He's a member of a group called the Illuminati. There's a group of really smart people in Marvel that get together every once in a while and just make decisions that could change the course of history, that could impact the entire world. And they say, yeah, we're smart enough. We're just going to do this. We're just going to do what we want. Illuminati confirmed. He's a card-carrying member, and that's not really a cool group to be a part of. He's accidentally hurt people with these vast powers. Sometimes he loses control of them, and then people around him start experiencing the pain that he can inflict. And once he completely lost control, he lost control of like his good side, he lost his inhibitions, and his darker nature sort of took over, and he became one of the most powerful villains the X-Men have ever faced, a villain called Onslaught. That's right. So if he used these powers for evil, it's bad news. But for the most part, he is a good guy, and he works to do good. So how would he compare to our previous villains? Well, so like Thanos, he could wipe out vast numbers of the population. But he doesn't. He realizes that that's wrong, that's unjust, that's merciless. In fact, people tried to get him to do that one time. There was a storyline called God Loves, Man Kills, where people kidnapped him and tried to use him to wipe out all the bad guys. But the bad guys were just an arbitrary group that contained good people and bad people. They were just who his kidnappers didn't like. So thank God he didn't do that. Thank God God doesn't do that. Because if God wiped out the bad guys, we'd be in that number. If you're a sinner, you're technically a bad guy. All right? All have fallen short. So he doesn't do that. Unlike Uatu the Watcher, Professor X is active. He usually leads from the sidelines, but he gets involved sometimes in adventures. And when he's not out fighting supervillains, he's active in the world trying to raise awareness and fight for people's rights and make the world a better place. Now, as a person, he's not self-sufficient. He has to eat and breathe. But unlike Galactus, he doesn't have to eat planets. He doesn't sustain himself at other people's expense. And he uses his powers and his leadership to help sustain the people around him. He tries to help people out and help them to be better. And he's not sinless. I just mentioned sometimes he's had dark spots in his past. He's made mistakes. He's occasionally done bad things. But unlike Venom, Professor X actively works to separate himself from his dark side, i.e. his sin nature. He tries to use his powers for good. So can we all agree that Professor X poses a different sort of challenge than the previous villains that we've looked at in this series, right? Okay, so he's a good guy, so why would he and Jesus fight? They wouldn't. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You're dismissed. All right, we're done. No. So I think it would be a different kind of battle. They wouldn't fight directly. They wouldn't really necessarily have a reason to fight it out. And really, who could stand up to a one-on-one with the Lord of all creation, really? I think theirs would be a battle of leadership. What type of leader would you want? What type of leader would you like to follow? Professor X is a good leader. He assembled this group of superhumans, and he's led them to victory several times. Jesus is also a good leader. He assembled a team of uneducated fishermen and tax collectors and led them to change the world. Yes, all right. They both got some leadership cred. Yes. But Professor X is a controlling leader. Yes. Professor X could control every single person on the planet. He could make them do whatever he wanted them to do and make them all be good. And then everything would be perfect, right? Right? No, you sound doubtful. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Some people want a controlling leader. Sometimes we like leaders that are charismatic and like seem to have everything under control. Some people like to be controlled. That might not sound intuitive, but have you ever been in a position where you had to make a decision? And you're like, man, I wish somebody would just tell me what to do. I wish somebody else would just make the call and I'd just do it. I mean, why do I have to figure this out and do all that? I wish I could just be told. I've been there. I don't know about you. I've been there sometimes until I find out what I have to do. And then I'm like, well, actually, maybe I don't want to do that. But sometimes some people want a controlling leader. Some people want to be a controlling leader. All right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to amen me, but no, like if you've ever found yourself saying, if these people would just do it my way, it would be done so much better. This would be finished already. Gosh, if only they would just do it the way that I said. I wish I could control them. Like, we sometimes are tempted to think that we, if we had control over other people, that it would go so much better. Things would work out. And if you have kids, you have had this thought.
Yes.
If these kids would just do what I told them to do 20 minutes ago, we would be halfway to our destination and not still be putting on shoes. Oh, gosh. So, I mean, we all have this feeling. We've had this controlling nature in ourselves. Now, lots of Christians believe God is a controlling leader. They view God as a controlling leader. We all believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, right?
Yeah.
We believe that. Amen. We believe that God has a plan,
yeah.
Right? He's got a plan. He's laid out stuff in the Bible. We can see his plan being played out. But if he's all-powerful and if he knows everything, then he must be in control of absolutely everything, right? And that includes us, right? Right? If you believe that, a lot of people do believe that, okay? If you believe that, stick with me, all right? I'd like the opportunity to lay out an alternate viewpoint, okay? So now this gets into a lot of some really big subjects, okay? Things like predestination and free will. Topics that I might be able to cover if I hadn't spent so much time telling you the history of Professor X. But fortunately, if you have questions about those things, if you got specific questions, well, what happened with Pharaoh? Didn't God like harden his heart and make him do stuff? Doesn't God do that to people? Hey, that's a great question. We have a sermon series starting next week called Search Engine, where we want to answer your questions. So you're free to shoot those to us. We welcome them. We would love to hear your questions and try to answer them. And we always have an anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. You can always text us your questions. We get them anonymously. We don't know who they're coming from. But we want to answer your questions. We want to answer questions about the faith. And we'd love to incorporate them into our series that starts next week. So save that number in your phone and hit us up. We all have questions about our faith, especially when it comes to, does God make everything happen or not? 214-856-0550. You are predestined to send us a question. So God is in control, right? God is in control. I mean, we all believe that, right? The world's not out of control. God is in control of something. It can be really comforting to think that God is in control of everything. And everything happens for a reason, right? I mean, in part, it's reassuring to think that our mistakes were really just part of God's master plan. Yeah, I've messed up really bad, but it's okay. It's all according to plan. That was supposed to happen. It's all going to work out. God's got this. He's at the wheel, and everything's going to be fine. He made that happen. That's fine. It's good. Thinking that God's in control of everything gives us nice things to say. Well, it's all according to God's plan, brother. Don't worry. That's God's. It's It's all part of his plan. It's all working out. You know, God's in control. Just have peace. But if God is controlling absolutely everything, that has some really awful implications. If God is controlling everything, then why would God fight for us? We had a memory passage last month. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Why would God fight for you if he's controlling everything anyway? Why would he need to? Everything's happening the way he wants it to. Why does he have to fight at all? This is according to his plan. In the same way, why would we need to pray? Yeah. It's not like we're going to change his plan. He already knows what we're going to say anyway. Why would we can't influence it other than we were preordained to pray at that moment, but doesn't do anything. He's in control of everything, and it's going to continue to happen the way that he set out long before you were even born. If God is controlling everything, then that means he's controlling all the bad things that happen, right? In fact, that kind of means that he made them happen. Any tragedy, the worst thing that you can think of in human history, God made that happen. In fact, God wanted that to happen because that was part of his master plan that ultimately somehow works out in the end. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God wants bad things to happen. This would be worse than Uatu the Watcher. He just stands by and watches bad things happen. If God's controlling everything, then he's actually making bad things happen. Tragedy and suffering are not part of God's plan. They are not tools that he uses to get what he ultimately wants. He is powerful enough that he doesn't have to use tragedy and suffering to bring about some ultimate good. God doesn't cause atrocities. Suffering and pain exist in this world, but they're caused by sin. They're part of this world because this world is broken because of sin. But if God is in control of everything, then God created sin. Then God causes sin. Again, this is worse than our villain last week, Venom, that's trying to control you and make you do bad things. This isn't the devil made me do it. This is God made me do it. That doesn't fly. That doesn't fit with the God that I know. That doesn't make sense that the ultimate good would also cause all evil intentionally as part of his plan. God did not create people to go to hell. If God controls everything, then he created countless numbers of people knowing they would go to hell, and he's okay with that. No, that is not true. That doesn't fit. God loves every single person, and he wouldn't create somebody just to write them off. Oh, sorry. But this is part of my master plan. No, God loves and wants to save every single person. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." If God's controlling everything, that verse doesn't make any sense at all. Because why would he have to be patient with you? What is he waiting on? He knows what's going to happen. And if he wants everyone to come to repentance and he controls absolutely everything, then he would just make it happen. There's something in there that God isn't controlling people and making them decide one way or the other. If God controls everything, including us, this may be the very worst part of it. If he's controlling everything, then we cannot love. If we are forced to love and it's not our choice, then that's not really love. We can't We may think we love God, but he pre-programmed us to think that. If you build a thing and make it say, I love you, if I build a little computer that just prints out the word, I love you, Marshall, it doesn't love me. I just told it to say that. There's no choice in that. If he controls everything, including us and our hearts and how we feel, then we can't truly love. And in a way, how could God love us if we're just a machine that's programmed to do what he wants? But we know that God loves, and we love. The Bible tells us so. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. He gave us the capability to love. He showed us what love is because he is love. But if we have that capability to love, then he can't be controlling everything. God doesn't control everything. Could God control everything? Yes, he is all powerful. I'll give you that. But God does not control everything because love requires freedom. In order to truly be able to love, we have to be free to choose not to love. You can't be forced into love. You have to have the option not to love in order for it truly to be love. God is a big fan of freedom. God created us to be free. In John chapter 8, starting with verse 31, now to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, this is Jesus talking, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. He wants to set us free through his truth. And again, with verse 34, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Amen. Does it sound like Jesus wants us to be free? Yes, because love requires freedom. He wants us to be free, free from sin, free to love. God wants you to be free. Jesus died to set us free. But if we are actually under the control, the complete control of some external entity, then we are not free. Do you get that? Does that make sense? So, Jesus is not a controlling leader. Can Jesus do everything that Professor X can do? Oh, yes. Amen. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Verse 2. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. He's got that mind-reading thing down. He's got all power in heaven and on earth. He can do anything. He could do everything that Professor X could do. Jesus could read our minds. He could control us completely, but he chooses not to. So really what this comes down to is a fight between Professor X and Jesus is really a contest between the liberator versus the controller. Any of the mind-controlling bad guys that I mentioned at the beginning could control people. Professor X could control everybody on the planet. But hopefully he would do it with good intentions. Isn't that good enough? Not really. Because a lot of suffering and evil have been caused in this world by people who were given power to control other people and exercise that power thinking that they were helping people, that they were doing good. It's happening right now under totalitarian regimes. The leaders have incredible power over the lives of the people in their countries, and they think that they're going to make it a wonderful utopia, and really the people are suffering under them. In fact, the more power somebody has to control the lives of other people, usually the worse it ends up for those other people. Because controlling other people isn't how God intended it. That's not how things were supposed to work. If it was, God would have done it himself. Professor X may have a genius level intellect, but even he doesn't have the wisdom to control everyone and have it work out well. Jesus is the only one with the wisdom to be able to control everyone, but he chooses not to because he loves us. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to be free. But if God is God, and he is all-powerful, then how could he not be in control of everything? And if he's not in control of everything, then how can he really be the all-powerful God? I personally struggled with this question myself. I used to think that God was in absolute control of everything. But I was missing something. If God is all powerful, then he has the power to limit himself. The all powerful God has the power to limit himself to allow us to make our own choices. He allows us to have free will. God allows us the freedom to make bad choices. And in fact, he wouldn't be God if he didn't. He is wise enough and powerful enough to know that our bad choices cannot defeat his plan. That's right. He can let us make bad choices because he knows he's got it covered. He is God. Our bad choices won't throw everything off the rails. He loves us. And there's nothing that we can do to really mess up his plan so bad that he can't fix it. God is active in the world and in our lives. And he wants us to be involved with him. He wants to be active in our lives, but he wants us to choose him, to invite him into our lives first. God doesn't force his way in. He doesn't just blast us and make us suddenly, oh, I have to receive your Holy Spirit now. I don't even know you. No, he wants a relationship with us. And it starts by getting to know him, inviting him into our lives, inviting his Spirit into us. He wants us to choose him and to invite him into our hearts and into our minds. God does not control us, but he is always present to help us and guide us, to help us through any of the problems that we face in this broken world. A controller like Professor X would give you no choice. When you face a problem, then he's going to take control and he's going to solve it his way. He would give you no choice. He would make you do it their way. But Jesus doesn't force himself upon us. Jesus offers us his way. And his way is really the only way that works. Jesus is the way. Amen? Amen? He said it himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. So he offers us his way. He doesn't force us to follow it, but he says, hey, this is going to work. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. You're welcome to come alongside and go in this way. Jesus is our model. Not only is he the way, but he is the model for what we are to be and who we are to be. Jesus had free will. He also was incredibly powerful. But he submitted his will to God the Father. He prayed, thy will be done. Thy will, not mine, but your will be done, Father. So he had free will. He had the freedom to make choices. And yet he surrendered his will to God. Now this seems sort of backwards. This might seem like a paradox. God wants us to have free will, but at the same time he wants us to submit our will to him. Yes, absolutely. Amen. There's a very important difference there. There's the difference between him forcing you to do it his way, in which you have no choice, versus you realizing that his way is the best and accepting it for yourself.
Yes.
In the first case, it is an imposition. You have to take this and do it this way. In the second case, it's a gift. He gives it to us. We submit our will to him to try to do things his way, to receive that wonderful, perfect way, that guidance from the Father, from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. While we have free will, we find true freedom when we submit ourselves to Christ and try to follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And he offers that same spirit to us.
Yes.
Continuing with verse 15. The person with the spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. They're not just working in their own human capacity anymore. Verse 15, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Man, that's awesome. That's weird.
Yes.
He gives us access to his mind, his incredibly powerful mind. Not that he puts it in our brain and suddenly we have no control over what we're doing anymore, but we have access to that power, to that wisdom, to that guidance in the mind of Christ. He gives us access through his spirit. Jesus doesn't force his mind upon us, but he offers it to us. He offers us his spirit to help us and to guide us. He gives us access to it, but still gives us the freedom to make our own choices. God loves you. He loves you as an individual. He doesn't want to brainwash you and make you a robot. He loves you.
Yeah.
There's parts of you that he doesn't love. There's those sinful parts that causes all of us to make bad choices and do things that hurt us. And he wants to help guide us away from those.
Yeah.
But not by just wiping you out and replacing you with a drone that can't choose for themselves. He loves you. He loves you as a distinct person. Amen. The truth is that the world wants to control you. The world wants to control all of us. The things of this world want to control us. Sin wants to control us. But God wants us to be free. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. This world tells you that it's all about control. It wants to control you and tell you what to do. It wants you to grab on to any control you can get and start telling other people the way it's going to be. I've got to be in control. And you do what I say or else. No, that's the pattern of this world. Don't get pressed into that mold. That's not what God wants us to be. No, instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have access to the mind of Christ. And then we will be able to discern God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is his will in this situation? We can talk to him. We can reach out to him and try to walk in his way to bring good out of awful situations. He doesn't make those bad things happen, but he can bring good out of any situation. And if you're in that situation, you may be the instrument that he wants to use. If you can just be in touch with him to be at work in that situation and bring him into that situation and redeem that situation to bring something good in that situation. So again, we come back to it's a choice of the liberator versus the controller. Are you a controller? Do you seek to control others? You may not feel like you are. You may not have opportunities to really control anybody. Man, I wish I could control anybody. No, but the world tries to make us conform to its pattern and be the controller of ourselves. The world will, if it can't convince you or force you to be under its control, it tells you, well, then you got to be the boss. Don't let anything tell you what to do. Not even this weird God that's going to try to make you do what he wants. No, you're the boss. You got to be your own person. Do what you want. Live your life. Is that what you want? Do you want to be the controller? Or do you want the liberator? The one who really sets us free. Lots of things can control us if we let it. If you want to find someone or something to control you, they're easy to find. But if you want Jesus to control you, too bad. He won't do it. He doesn't do that. He loves you too much. Yes. It is only through submitting to God that we find true freedom. He doesn't control us. He doesn't want to control us, but he wants to help us, yes, to guide us, to lead us. And that's what a true leader does. He loves you and wants to help guide you into his perfect image. It's only through submitting to God that we find true freedom. So we have to turn from sin. We have to turn from the things that are trying to control us. Repent, turn back to the one who isn't trying to control us, the one that's offering us freedom. Turn to God and seek his will. His will is for you to be free. Now, at the end of service every week, you have an opportunity to exercise your free will, your free choice. Yes. At the end of service, we open up the front here and we invite everybody to come forward and spend some time talking to God. You don't have to. It's your choice. It is an opportunity for you. It is open to you. Coming forward doesn't mean that you're a sinner and you need to say the sinner's prayer and you're accepting Christ for the first time. Coming forward just means we acknowledge that we need him and we want to be in touch with him. How do we get in line with his will? How do we connect with him? It starts with reaching out to him, talking to him, and that's what prayer is. These altars are open. I'd ask you to consider who is controlling your life. Talk to him about that. God doesn't want anything controlling your life. He wants you to be free. But have you sought his will? Are you seeking his freedom? Are you seeking to control others? Come and talk to him today and receive what his will for you is. His will is freedom because he loves you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.